This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike. Transform and roll out!
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0.
Ladies and gentlemen, it wouldn't be a podcast without a clip show. I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And for All Things Transformers version 2.0, episode 49, I had this great idea for me to take Steve on a This Is Your Podcast retrospective.
It was my podcast.
Well.
But no, it's not.
You know what I mean, goddammit. So I went through numerous episodes of the 1.0 and the 2.0 versions of ATTF, and I'm not gonna say these are the best or the most funny clips that are in the entire 6 year, almost 7 year history of the podcast, but I wanted to chronicle the beginning of the podcast, and we'll talk about each clip as we go along, to kind of show people how far Steve has come in 6 years. So I think before we go any further, we need to jump in the DeLorean and head back to Saturday, August 8th, 2008. No, wait, really?
Yeah. 2007, I was still doing TF Wire.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Saturday, August 9th, 2008. That's where I was getting confused. And you're going to hear the first episode of ATTF after this, 7 minutes, 33 seconds. We'll be back to talk about it after the break.
This is All Things Transformers, Episode 1, recorded August 9th, 2008. Welcome to the debut episode of All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve/Megatron. The purpose of this podcast is to feature discussions with other possible hosts and fans on the Transformers as a whole. We will also feature some small Transformer-related news tidbits, but we'll leave most of that to various other TF podcasts, such as TF Wire and TF Anonymous. In case you're wondering, yes, I am the same Steve/Megatron from the TF Wire War Stories podcast. Hopefully, I'll do a little bit better than I did in that series. In any case, I will also be launching my own versions of War Stories called Battle Protocol, which will be a Predacon Empire.com production. And yes, I also own that long-running TF site. We are in the progress of adding more Tori reviews, Teletran entries, which are profiles and character analysis, and various other audio and video clips to the site. But I digress. This episode will be a short one, as I'm recording solo this week, this podcast may or may not be a weekly / bi-weekly series. It'll all depend on your input. I will also try to get possible guest hosts on the show from other TF podcasts and fans who'd like to participate in roundtable discussion topics. We will also feature listener questions, but obviously, since this is the first episode, we won't have any. Anyways, on to the news. First up this week is a new Transformer Generation 1 game. It's a limited time demo on Glue Mobile, also TransformersMobile.com. It's loosely based off the Transformer Generation 1 mythos, and I actually played the demo on there. It's pretty fun. The demo, it's obviously very pixelized because it's a colored phone, but at the same time, when it shows the close-ups and they're speaking, it resembles the Dreamwave IDW designs for the heads. Second up is Bernie Mac, dead at age 50. The actor-comedian passed away early Saturday morning. His death, they're saying, had to do with pneumonia. His most recent role for Transformer fans that knew him, he was Bobby Bolivia, the used car salesman, sold Sam Bumblebee. Some of his other well-known roles were in the Ocean's movies. Up next is Transformers Revenge of the Fallen has halted shooting for 4 weeks due to Shia LaBeouf's hand injury, so they're currently filming other aspects of the movie at this time, and there's no indication currently on the delay or the effect on the film. Rumor from Chud.com reports that Transformer movie Megatron to return as a tank. This is mostly just rumor right now, as the director and producers and everyone associated with the Transformer movie are purposely leaking false information. So until we hear anything official, this should just be treated as a rumor. Has anyone seen that new Transformer movie mystery car? Well, that mystery car is a Corvette Centennial design. It's currently in the concept model. It is released upon the 100-year anniversary of GM, which could have something to do with why it looks so funky and doesn't really resemble a Corvette. They're saying that it's supposed to be a cross between past, present, and their future on GM designs. Up next is Chevy officially releases details on the Bumblebee Camaro. Apparently Chevy is planning to unveil the Camaro to showroom floors in early spring of next year. The car is to range under $50,000. It's also going to have an LS, LT, and SS model. The LS and LT will feature a 3.6 liter V6 engine. The SS will have two different versions. One will be a 6-speed automatic, 6.2 liter V8. The other one would be a manual transmission, 6.2 liter V8 engine. This car will get between 23 and 26 miles to the gallon, which is pretty damn good for a sports car. But wish I could afford it, but I'll at least get to drive one because I work at a Chevy dealership. Well, that's all for the news week, and again, for submissions, questions, comments, listener questions, and ideas, please visit the podcast section of the PredaconEmpire.com forums, or send an email to podcast@PredaconEmpire.com. Coming soon will be the podcast.PredaconEmpire.com podcast section, and I'm currently working on that as I speak. Anyways, this is Steve/Megatron, signing out.
Transformers, robots in the sky, Autobots waiting to fire, and destroy.
folks, you've heard what happened 6.5 years ago when Steve started All Things Transformers. What is it like listening to that again after all this time?
I want
to
choke myself. It just sounds horrible going back and listening to it because it's emotionless, like completely emotionless. I don't know. I you could tell I was very early on for the fact that the conversation pieces, not only could I not hold a podcast on my own at that time, I'm capable of doing it now. I just choose not to. but at that time, that was the first episode I'd done that was a move to news, mm-hmm, over doing narrative fanfics, mm-hmm, which is what I actually started doing, which was war stories, and that was a 15-episode run. Did that right for TFWire.com. Did an episode of TF Wire talking about the first Transformers movie.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, and then did an episode of Play On, and then my podcasting duties were over on TFWire.com, and I started developing an idea for, first of all, I came up with the idea of Weekend at the Movies and Movie Weekend Review at that time,
mm-hmm,
pitching it to them, and I started doing that, and it didn't really go anywhere. So I ended up kind of breaking off, and I launched All Things Transformers on PredaconEmpire.com, which was my Transformers site at the time. Mm-hmm. And going back and listening to this now, I remember, the sad thing is I remember what I was doing. I was sitting in my office in my one-bedroom apartment, or was it two-bedroom? It was one of the two. I think it was like the borderline end of the one, maybe the beginning of the other.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a Saturday morning. My wife, I believe, was at work, and mm-hmm, I'm sitting here doing this recording, which was just ungodly terrible. I cannot believe how bad it sounds going back and listening to it now, especially for the fact that I'm going, and it just sounds heartless because I didn't know how else to deal with it, and I was like, yep, and as of about an hour earlier today, Bernie Mac died. And then I moved on to the next article. There was just nothing. No, you know, his career was great. You know, he did all these other roles. He was in the Oceans movies. He was, you know, he had his hit TV show. Nope, Bernie Mac died. You know, the guy that was the car salesman, which, yeah, you know, I was like, there was a crap part in the movie, which actually was quite humorous, considering the grand scheme of how that trilogy turned out. He had probably one of the better comedic roles in the entire trilogy, which is sad. They could have used a little bit more of him later on. But, yeah, so then listening to that and then listening to some of the other news articles, I just, it was clear that I could not form a sentence on my own.
Yeah. So, the first episode just had you in it.
Yeah, I didn't pull on a co-host until I think episode 2.
Right.
Which right. I recruited from TF Archive.
Right. So we are going to hear the intro with Massa Galvatron after this.
Hi, you're listening to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve/Megatron. And joining me this week is
Master Galvatron from also Transformers Wire. And all I see is darkness, death, destruction, and every foremost member of the Transformers community as my personal slaves.
Anyways,
all right, so we are two episodes into All Things Transformers, version 1.0, and you brought in a co-host from British Texas? I can't tell.
I believe he was from Texas.
Okay.
He was, I believe at the time, because I can't remember how old I was. I know I was in my 20s, but yeah, he, I think, was 18. But he was also a...
He would have been 22.
Yeah, so he kind of was very, 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 very raw, to say the least. I actually met him on tfarchive.org, which at the time was a Transformers website that had all different kinds of iterations. They were around the same time that like TransFandom. I don't know if you remember them.
Right, yeah.
TransFandom was around. You had Transformers Network, which was another big one. They were actually one of the big ones around at that time. And then I was pretty frequent on those sites as opposed to the tfarchive.com or AllSpark or TFW. I really wasn't a member of any of those. I wasn't really there. So I kind of met him through TF Archive, and we were doing the RPG on their forums. And of course I had Ultimus Prime, which was my Autobot I created years ago. And I, being a moron, I put it in one of those self-creator database things, and then it creates a tech spec or whatever. Well, where it ended up, a guy wrote a story, and that was one of the lead characters, which was a clone of Optimus Prime, which is, you know, what I described in my tech spec that I wrote up. So magically, it was a CG image, and then it was in this story, which, mind you, I still have. I ripped it from his site, and at the time, there was no, you know, grab all. I could select all from the page, copy, paste, and then I had to go to the next page. I think I did that through, like, 90 pages.
Oh, wow.
And I made it into 3 document series. After I partially edited it. And so, anyways, that's how I got to meet him, was through the RPG, and he had a character, some kind of a Galvatron or something. I don't remember, but his name was Master Galvatron in that, and that was around the time I dubbed myself Megatron. So he wanted to get into podcasting. I wanted to co-host. I really didn't know what to look for, so I said, sure, yeah, join me up on this time. I'm going to be doing the show, and it was kind of one of those moments where I started to realize this is probably not going to turn out well.
Yeah, when I listened to the clip that we just played introducing him, and he says all this crazy, crazy stuff as you guys just heard, and you're like, anyway, it's like, how do I recover from this?
It was like, it's almost like one of those awkward moments where I throw in a disturbing under the table joke, and you're saying, anywho, and then you move on quickly. It's one of those moments.
Yeah.
Except mine warrants it a little bit more.
Yeah.
His was out of left field. Mine was like, I purposely planned to say what I was going to say.
Right, yeah.
For the reaction. So, yeah, I didn't know what to do with dealing with that, because, as I stated before, I hadn't had a co-host on any of my shows,
right,
other than when I guested on TF Wire and on Play On, which I had Jesse and Spada.
Yeah.
And then there was another host that was on TF Wire with me. Having somebody that was a veteran of it kind of steering the ship, I didn't have to worry about having no compatibility with the conversation. So
yeah,
here I didn't, obviously it didn't mesh.
No. Well, see, here's the funny thing, you know, that this episode, episode 49, ladies and gentlemen, has taken me a while to get the clips, to get, you know, to get them done and get them to Steve so we could do this podcast. But, you know, life and other crap and all the other shows I do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when I started going through these about 3.5 months ago or something like that. And because, you know, been friends for, you know, 5-6 years now. I mean, the network's been online for 5 years. We started talking in December of 08, so...
Well, it was shortly... We actually started talking sooner than that. That's when we actually started collaborating.
Oh, that's true.
We started talking on Twitter.
Shortly after
I created my account, because you started yours a month before me. I started mine because I was wanting to interact with This Week in Geek.
I used
to listen to them when they were on CRNC.
Yeah.
So that's how we.
But because we've been friends so long, even though we've never met in real life, it's one of those things where I'm going back and I'm listening to this and I'm like, oh my God, he must like really, you know, he must have ants in his pants to get the hell out of there. I can tell you're so uncomfortable talking with this guy.
Well, I had my own vision of how things should have played out, and they didn't even go in that direction. Like, at least when I'm in a conversation, even on Altered Geek, if things don't tend to hit the conversation points that I wanted to hit, at least the conversation is moving.
Yeah.
And it's moving in a direction I can at least add something to 90% of the time.
Yeah,
I had no idea how I was going to grasp control back and add something pertinent to the conversation. And I'm not trying to give the guy any crap, because he didn't know any better than I did. I should have realized it when I asked him. But again, I was raw too, so I didn't know what I was looking for.
Right. So the next clip we're going to play for you, ladies and gentlemen, is from ATTF 1.0 Episode 4. This is Steve and more of his prediction powers. You'll hear the clip after this.
Transformers Animated Season 2 up for pre-order at Amazon.com. It will be released in, it says, January 6, 2009 for $17.99. on Amazon, and it's probably the better out of the two seasons, but I'd probably just wait on it and see how season 3 goes, and then eventually they'll have them as a box set, so I'd probably just wait until then.
Hey, this is Sari, and you guys should check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike. It's a cool show.
Alright folks, going back and listening to this part of episode 4, I just kind of, my jaw hit the floor. I'm like, oh, hell no, he didn't do this in 2009. Hell no way.
My podcasting psychic ability.
You pretty much predicted about, you know, the season 2 box set and, you know, eventual complete series set. Of course, it would take them until this year to get the, I think it was this year, wasn't it?
I think so, to get a season 3.
To get... Yeah, the full-on entire box set, because I interviewed Brian about it, Brian Ward from Shout Factory. But yeah, I mean, I went back and listened to that, and I'm like, oh, hell no, there's no way. Yeah, it was this year that the box set came out.
Yeah, it's one of those, I think that was the starting point of my geek psychic ability. Also known as Unleashing the Geek in You.
Yes.
It started then. It by no means ended there.
No.
the force was strong with me, as you could say.
Yes. Yes, you're very marvelous in several points.
Yeah. It was kind of one of those magical moments in the stars that you could say fueled the war, as it were.
It's just one of those things where as soon as you say it, you know, Disney buys everything. Next thing we know, Disney is buying something big or making some big deal. But I went back and listened to that. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. All right. So coming up next is something...
Another fairly... awkward moment.
Well, there's that. I found this hilarious because sadly you weren't able to go this year, but in ATTF episode 7, you had just come back from vacation and you and your wife had gone to Chicago. So it's kind of surprising that you didn't get to go back this year for TFCon, but we will get to that clip in a moment.
Yes, I did go on vacation. I went to Chicago with my fiancé.
Did you get a deep dish while you were there?
Did I get a what?
A deep dish, pizza. No, Chicago deep dish.
We didn't eat in Chicago because the hotel that we were supposed to get was actually a city over, and it said it was in Chicago, so we ended up riding a lot of trains. But we did end up going and walking the city and checking out the museums, and so it was a pretty fun trip overall.
Well, that's all that really matters, I guess.
What you been up to lately?
Well, I've been up to nothing, really.
I can hit the higher note. Yes.
Yes, and Megatron went to Chicago. Sort of.
Yes.
This is, again, one of my... As I was going through the episode, a lot of the clips in the early episodes, a lot of the early episode stuff didn't make it because, like, episode 1 through 7 or 8, sometimes you're by yourself and you're just doing news. And unless you're doing something like the prediction, there's no offense to you.
It's a hollow episode.
There's not a lot of comedy, you know. So
it's just a little raw.
When I started listening to episode 7, I'm like, okay, this is going good. Master Galvatron hasn't completely creeped me out yet. And then we get back from vacation, and he asks about deep dish pizza, and that doesn't sound like what he's saying. I don't know what you might have thought you heard him say at the time.
I really don't know. I really don't. He had this uncanny ability to, even in text, he seemed to creep out people on the forum. I don't know if it was because of his age and the comments that he would make and not realize that he's making them.
Yeah.
But, and I don't even know what I was thinking at this point in time. I think I just didn't hear him, for one. Because I have a really difficult time with accents. It has nothing to do with, like, anybody else. It's my personal, like, my ear. I just can't hear it. Right. So, to me, like, even when I'm on, a phone support call of any kind, and they're, hello, my name is John, and I'm from Wisconsin, and you're, thank you for calling AT&T. I have a hard time understanding them. I'm sorry if I offended anybody that just... That's the first thing that comes to my mind. It's like the Transformers clip that Michael Bay used that, thank you for calling AT&T. We must have your 10-digit PIN or your credit card number. You know.
Hello, my name is Abu. I get the quickie mart.
Yes, but, I mean, it was one of those moments for me. I was like, huh, what? And he's asking me about my deep dish. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because, like, I when people tell me deep dish, I don't normally, like, I worked pizza, but to me, deep dish was a squared pizza because that's what it is at Little Caesars. I can say that now. I don't work there. but it's not one of those, freeze-dried freaking dough balls that, well, it honestly changed, like, 3 or 4 times. But now they just soak them overnight in a big pile of oil. And let them hold form and soak it in, so you're eating a big ball of grease. But so to me, that's what deep dish is. It's squared pizza, because technically, if you want to be real technical about it, even the round pizzas are deep dish because they're in a freaking pan that actually sits up about 1.5 inches.
Yeah.
So they're all deep dish to me. But again, so anyways, he's saying a deep dish. And I'm having no idea what he's talking about. And he's like, Chicago deep dish? And I'm like, oh, okay. He's talking about a Chicago pizza, like Chicago style.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, one of those weird moments that I don't know.
ladies and gentlemen, as Steve already said, we're not trying to throw this guy under the bus, but...
I'm actually going to try and find this guy.
No, this is part of ATTF's history. This is how the show started. And coming up next, you're going to hear my introduction in episode 9. Yay.
Come out, Autobot! We all must die sometime.
Not today, Galvatron!
It's a pity you Autobots die so easily, or I might have a sense of satisfaction now.
You got the touch! You got the...
Arise, Rodimus Prime.
Optimus.
Yeah! No. All right, for the beginning of the interview for the TFG1 podcast, I guess just tell everybody pretty much who you are, and yeah.
Well, my name is Michael Blanchard. I am originally from Boston, Massachusetts. As you can tell from the earlier segments of this podcast, I am a huge G1 fan. It was pretty much the only thing, as far as Transformers went, that I was interested in for a long time. And I had had a lot of the toys when I was younger. I actually had more He-Man toys than anything else until my dad sold them when I was 6, and he told me that I was too old to play with toys, which that was a very earth-shattering experience, but I still have my Castle Grayskull. It's not in the greatest condition, but it's traveled with my mom for the last 27 years. I'm living in Louisville, Kentucky now, and I just have so much time on my hands that I wanted to pick something that I could... I kept thinking, what could I talk about? What could I do a review-style show on? And I recently, just as I said in the first episode of the podcast, go to iTunes and download that, please. Search for the TFG1 podcast. Of course, if Steve gets the feed right...
Yeah, I accidentally overwrote that with mine, yeah. So I did upload the correction, so it should be working now.
Amongst all the other things that I've overspent on eBay, I spent, which is the lowest amount that I've ever seen, a G1 DVD set for the U.S. release Rhino sets. Paid like $300-something for the 5 box sets, and... like I said before, I love watching Rebirth. I love watching the 86 movie. And I figured, why not start a podcast? No one else seems to be... Like, someone would start it, like, recently, since I had first told you this. I have seen several different review podcasts on iTunes, but whoever's been doing them has never actually finished. Like, there's one that's titled Transformers G1 or something Transformers lovingly reviewed by somebody. I don't know who it was. I tried downloading an episode of that, and it would not download. I don't know. So I figured, you know, I watch the shows. I'm going to watch the shows. Basically, the podcast will... I don't know how long it's going to run. So far, I have a 24-episode lineup set up. I am going to be reviewing them 5 episodes per episode of the podcast, with hopefully a 86, 2007, and 2009 movie roundtables in there, which, Steve, I'd like you to be in on, and I'm going to try to get a couple of other people in on those for roundtable. Yeah, try to get Birdman. He's not exactly the easiest person to get a hold of, and I still say... You keep ignoring us, the Twig fandom will revolt.
We will come after you.
That's right. We will fly to Canada, and we will take our lightsabers to you, and your Jedi powers will be useless against us. Wow, that's really off topic. So, originally, I had started, when I first got into podcasting, as far as listening to podcasts, I was into the Justice League cartoon and the Batman the Animated Series and Superman the Animated Series and those DC animated cartoons. So I was looking around just seeing if there was any kind of podcast dedicated to this thing. So I found this podcast called World's Finest Podcast, and the only thing in iTunes that it said was the artist was called Project Cadmus. Well, Project Cadmus is a storyline. It's an 8-episode story arc in the Justice League cartoon at the end of, I think it's the Justice League Unlimited Season 1 is the ender of that. So I thought, okay, well, this is going to be a podcast dedicated to Project Cadmus, the eight episode story arc. Lo and behold, I download this thing, and these guys, Michael David Sims and James Doe, are reviewing every episode of the entire DC Animated Universe, starting out with Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, the Zeta Project, Static Shock, Justice League, and Justice League Unlimited. So I've been listening to this, and as I said before, I have so much time on my hands, I figured I would actually do something about it. And that's where this came from. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of hard work. I've already got, I think, through episode 5, I've got the scripts written up. So, yeah, that's pretty much where it all started. Other than that, I mean, I would love to get... I've been dying and trying to find somebody that can get Peter Cullen for an interview. I know that this man is very open to the fandom. I've seen interviews with him saying that he is, you know, he just loves the way the fans react to him, and I would love to have Optimus Prime on my podcast.
I'd love to have David Kaye and Frank Welker.
Yeah. That would be kind of weird, though, having...
Many generations of Megatron. As well as someone who can imitate both.
Yeah, that's true. But that would be a very, very off the wall podcast. Can you just imagine having Welker and Kay fight it out as Megatron?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Or you could have Welker fight it out as Galvatron.
Yeah, I can't do the Galvatron too well, so I'll do the G1 Megatron.
I don't...
Kay can do the Beast Wars, and he can do Galvatron.
Yeah, I don't know how he does that voice. The Galvatron voice, that just amazes me.
Yeah, I'm still working on that one.
Yeah, eventually, down the line, if I ever get the DVD sets, I will be doing Beast Wars. I don't know if... it will be a separate podcast, or if it will just be episodes in addition to G1, I'm not really sure. Most likely it would be a separate podcast. That way it would, you know, you could choose either or and have two different artworks and everything else. Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
But...
And coming back from this clip, as you can tell, it's the initial introduction of my future co-host on just about every show that I do, and the co-creator of the network. It's you.
That's right, it's me, the fucking great one. Which, actually, the fucking great one part of TFG1 didn't come until I joined Twig. And
that was because TFG1 podcast was over, so they're like, we'll just rename it.
Yeah, well, I think how that came about, the fucking great one, I think how that came about was one of Twig's listeners, I don't remember who it was, it's been so damn long, thought of, what are the, because, like, for me, it's Transformers G1.
Wasn't it Neil?
No, I don't think it was Neil. I would have remembered if it was Neil. I mean,
I know somebody in the comments put... Are you a fucking great one?
Great one, yeah. I would have to go back and look, and that's a lot of content to go through.
Well, unlike before, their site actually works, so you should be able to search fairly easy.
True.
I built it, but, so.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where, you know, I was trying to come up with a nickname and a persona for myself, and I figure, oh, well... I do the TFG1 podcast, why not do, just call myself TFG1, it's so much easier and whatever else, and obviously it's stuck, I've built a personality on it now and everything else, and you know, there's not much difference between the fictional character TFG1 Mike and the real Mike TFG Unblend, there really is hardly any difference at all. on air, you know, what you hear is what you get.
Raw and uncut. It's the Michael Blanchard Show.
Yes, that's right. But I remember this. It was, you know, we had a little rough time in the beginning, but as we, you know, conversed a lot and, you know, went back and forth during the interview section, it really did work. And of course, it didn't hurt that we had already had, like, 45 minutes of news or whatever it was beforehand, because the interview is, like, in the middle section of episode 9. I believe. I would have to go back and look, and I'm not going to do that right now. But yeah, no, joined you on episode 9 and kind of haven't looked back, obviously. We've already, you know, go over to Geekcast Radio's RSS or iTunes feed and listen to episode 65. We've already gone through the history of how we started the network and all that stuff, but, you know, it was interesting, and the next clip is one of, and now I know I flub. I take, God, where I usually flub is reading copy, and reading copy to me is, even if I write the shit, it's hard as hell, and it will take me, I remember when I was creating the current TFG1 ads that we sometimes still use, even though they're about 4 or 5 years old, it took me like an hour and a half to record the audio for that, like for the copy, because I'll get reading and then my brain will go faster than my mouth, and it's like one of those things. So,
so you have a Porky Pig moment.
That's alpha.
Yeah, that's all, folks. Yeah. So you had one of those moments when you were talking about
IDW.
So you'll hear that right now.
I did. Wow, that was funny. IDW Publishing Boards, with the remaining 5 covered on his blog, tells plot lines and the follow-up to the Revelations expansion and various other fates of characters, and his Maximum Dinobots, which is something that he always likes writing about, or the Dinobots.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the 13, which are supposed to be the 13 core Transformers that started it all. I'm looking forward to that 13, though.
Yeah, is this... I'm assuming this is comic book stuff, because I don't get into... The only comic book I have read since I was 14 was the comic book that came with my BotCon set, which I paid way too much for on eBay.
Yeah, I used to collect the Marvel comics until I... hit a point where I was jobless and needed money, so I had to sell them, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I may be getting to that point. All this money I've spent on all these Transformers toys over the last year and a half, I may have to end up selling them because I'm going to end up jobless and homeless by February.
Yeah, damn economy. But, yeah, so I ended up collecting the Dreamwave comics, which I liked very much. And
all right, well, there you go, folks. Steve can't talk.
Shut up.
It's kind of like that movie Today, Junior.
Today, Junior.
I don't know. It was just a funny little clip, folks, that I always find hilarious when any of us do that kind of stuff. And it's just, there was one clip, oh God, this will be at the end of the podcast, but there was one clip in Beast Unleashed, I think, where you said something about a coulda did, and I'm like, what's a coulda did?
Yeah,
one of those infamous moments, man.
Yep. All right, coming up next, you're going to hear me gagged for the game.
Revenge of the Fallen site, which is live, and it is for the new game that is coming out this year. And what the hell was that?
It was me putting my finger down my throat to gag myself for the game.
Wow. Anyways...
Yep, That's right, folks. I gagged on Revenge of the Fallen's video game. Those movie games, I'm sorry, they suck. They still suck to this day.
I'm not arguing with you.
Them should be terrible.
I have yet to play Rise of the Darkspark, which is supposed to combine Transformers Prime and Age of Extinction, or Dark of the... It's supposed to combine the movieverse and the Prime universe, and I still have yet to play it. I don't think I ever will. I would rather play Fall of Cybertron before I play that, because I have played War for Cybertron, but I have yet to play Fall of Cybertron. But yeah, no, that was just one of those funny little clips that I was like, oh, that's classic.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where I was like, he gonna gag himself.
Oh, boy. All right, so up next is one of the first times we did early morning records.
You're listening to All Things Transformers. And joining me this week is...
Mike Blanchard from the TFG1 podcast. We are going to re-record episode 12, seeing as how my computer completely blacked out the last time we tried to do this. And you would think that it's episode 12. It's not like it's episode 13, so at least it's not like a jinx thing.
Yeah. And I forgot to introduce myself. Obviously, I'm Steve/Megatron. It is very early in the morning, so we are both exhausted.
Yeah, well, you know, I've only had 45 minutes of sleep, so... And it isn't because of my neighbors or anybody messing around in the hallways or anybody outside or whatever. It was just because I couldn't get to sleep. And by 3:30, I was like, still watching Team Knight Rider on the iPhone. And the and the battery started dying, so I was like, oh, okay. Turn on the iPod on the Bose, put the iPhone in the dock, and rolled over. Next thing I know, Shinedown's going off for my alarm, telling me it's time to get up to record. I'm like, ah, oh, fuck.
And then we've been sitting here rambling on for the last hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we should have been taping the entire thing.
Exactly, we should have.
So, yeah, early morning records. Boy, do I not miss those.
Yeah, me neither.
I honestly do not know how morning radio personalities do it.
I know how. Know, lots and lots of caffeine.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that it's like I just don't know. Here in Louisville, I've been living here off and on since 1993, and over the last 20-odd years, there was a DJ here that I got to know and got to, you know, hang out with every now and then. His name was Peter B. He did the morning show on 99.7 WDJX here in Louisville, Kentucky, and, you know, he would tell us every now and then on air, you know, he got up at like 4:30 in the morning, left his house at 4:45 to be at the station by 5 o'clock. And, you know, from 5 to 9 every morning, 5 days a week for 20 years, he did that for 20 years. I just don't, even with our early morning records, I mean, we picked up steam, but you can tell just by listening to that clip, folks, neither one of us were awake.
Well, the thing is the reason why I did those is because it was difficult for me to do evenings because I worked late.
Right.
So what the whole thing was, my wife went to work. I was supposed to go back to sleep. Keyword, supposed to.
Supposed to.
Never did.
Never did, yeah.
So, yeah, I would record early mornings with you doing All Things Transformers, among other shows that would eventually happen during that time. Mm-hmm. But it was so freaking god-awful, like, at times. Because we're like, I don't really want to be here. And you're like, I don't really want to be here either. And we're like, let's go back to bed.
Yeah.
And then there were other days where we'd actually record. So it was kind of one of those kind of doo-doo-doo moments.
Yeah. It really, really was. It was, you know, I don't know. It was an era of our time podcasting, and it was a very interesting era at that. So next we're going to get to the second to last clip where Steve's prediction powers work again.
Join up with them instead of Paramount, but I guess they're now talking to Disney, the megalord of all...
Disney owns everything.
They own freaking Pixar. What the hell do they need DreamWorks for? Oh, we're going to turn the next Transformers movie into a happy-go-lucky Mickey Mouse movie. We're going to watch Revenge of Goofy.
Oh, no, Snork? Revenge of Donald would be better because you wouldn't know what the hell he was saying half the time.
Yeah, that'd be Starscream. That'd be the new Starscream. He would turn into a duck. That's... It would be Disney Wars instead of Beast Wars.
Okay, so yeah, I really don't give a crap about that news story.
Alrighty, and the prediction powers are true, although not in this case because it doesn't involve Transformers. the Disney owning everything does eventually start to happen at this point. It's when they start buying up all these random companies that start becoming the conglomerate known as Disney Marvel Lucasfilm. But yeah, it's interesting discussing how Disney would mutate them, which actually at some point, didn't they actually make some type of Disney... wasn't that what it was? The Disney... like Mickey Mouse Optimus Prime or something like that, or
yeah, there's a lot of Disney Transformers and Star Wars Transformers and extra stuff like that. They made all kind. I mean, hell, even Marvel did, you know, Marvel Transformers kind of thing where Iron Man was, I forget who he was supposed to turn into, but yeah, I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff that had done that, but I find this absolutely hilarious that, to bring this back around almost 6 years later, there was rumors that Disney would buy DreamWorks again.
Or buy Hasbro.
Well, yeah, that too.
And the funny thing is Hasbro bought DreamWorks.
Did they really?
Yes.
When the hell did it, like, the last thing I heard was the fact that Disney was looking to buy DreamWorks.
Nope, that was a while ago. So a little bit of news. So earlier last week, there was talks that they would, they're in talks to buy DreamWorks, Hasbro.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like as of today, which is Monday the 17th, a few hours ago, Hasbro decided to formally walk away from the DreamWorks Animation company. It says, what it looks like, discussions had cooled after members of the board visited DreamWorks Glendale, California studio complex, and press reports surfaced about the talks Wednesday last week. Their enthusiasm for the deal also waned after executives at Walt Disney Company's consumer product unit voiced concern about the possible arrangement, said another person familiar with knowledge of the situation. Disney and Hasbro had agreed on September 24th for Hasbro to make dolls based on Disney's Princesses and Frozen properties. It sounds more so to me that it's a conflict of interest and they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them, which is Disney. So, looks like they're deciding not to, go forth with it, which almost kind of makes sense, but it almost kind of, and I'm going to throw another prediction here. Even though there were talks of it and they kind of hushed it under the table, I think Disney will eventually buy Hasbro.
Mind
you, this is another prediction, and it will it'll be difficult to find out if it comes true. But Disney was kind of budding up to the Muppets or whatever before they owned them. They bought that.
Mm-hmm.
They started budding up to, you know, they've been friends with Lucasfilm forever. They bought mm-hmm. them. Marvel was another one that they were kind of close with. They bought them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They own a comic company. They own superheroes. They own an animation studio, which is Pixar, which they bought earlier on, too,
mm-hmm.
Which they worked with.
And plus, they have their own animation studio.
Plus, yes.
So they have two animation studios, a comic book company, you know.
All they need is a toy company.
Yeah.
One that already makes their products. Because Hasbro makes Star Wars toys long before yep. Disney owned them. They also make a lot of their Disney products, so it only kind of makes sense that Disney buys Hasbro eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'd actually get some really good Transformer movies then.
Oh no, you wouldn't get well.
I'm saying, look, we got Guardians of the Galaxy and the Iron Man movies and Avengers. If that right. speaks any volumes of Disney's no, gravitas, I would give it back. Plus, that would mean that Marvel would eventually get the Transformers comics if that was the case. Again,
that's the only reason why I don't want Disney to buy Hasbro is because I like where the Transformers comics are right now at IDW.
I don't.
Oh, wow.
I like the old so Marvel and DreamWorks. I have not liked it since it hit IDW. I haven't cared for the art or the stories. But that's just personal opinion.
Yes. All right. So the final clip, actually, we buried you in your backyard. So I'm going to get to myself, Peacock Court Michael, and Spade of the Belt Matrix after this.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in the stew.
Hello, and welcome to this special episode of All Things Transformers. I'm your host, TFG and Mike, and I'm joined with Peacock Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And Spada, how's it going with you, sir?
Good.
We killed Steve Megatron and buried him in the backyard again. So, yeah, he's going to have to come back to life.
Again.
And it was a shallow grave.
He's got today a standing grave out there. We just leave it open.
Yeah, it's like hotel reserve now.
I have a black lantern ring in my top drawer of my dresser. Do you want that?
No, we just use shovels.
Oh, that'll work.
Today we are going to be comparing and dissecting War for Cybertron and Transformers Exodus. Oh man, so how have you guys been? Spada, you can go first.
I've been pretty good, except for my caffeine overdose earlier this week.
You want to elaborate on that?
Let me just put it this way. I drank 2.5 cups of, like 2.5 actual cups, like a cup of liquid, of super high octane coffee on Monday. I was so jittery, my fingertips were numb.
Ooh.
That sounds like fun. I couldn't
Sounds like NASCAR fuel.
I couldn't tell if I had too much caffeine or was having a heart attack.
Yikes. That's not good, dude.
When I came home, my wife said, "You dumbass."
All right, folks, so that final clip was Spada talking about, I believe, his caffeine issues and thought he nearly had a heart attack, and we buried you in your backyard, you know, in a shallow grave, and I don't know, it was just a funny clip about, you know, how Spada just just does certain things, or he used to do certain things, and he even said in the clip, My wife looked at me, "You're an idiot." So, I know there are many more hours, many more episodes, not counting any specials. ATTF 1.0 had 58 numbered episodes, and ATTF 2.0 will have 50 episodes in total, so total of 108 episodes. If you count the specials and con coverage and all that stuff, it's in the interviews, it's probably a hell of a lot more, but 108 episodes in 6 years, that's a good run.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. it may not have been the most consistent show.
Yeah.
Quality or release, but because there were some better than others, and there were better times that it was released than others. But I think that it accomplished its goal in 6 years. I think that, I mean, yeah, there could have been more episodes. I think I've been doing Altered Geek over a year now, and I've already got well over the version 1.0. Yeah. The episodes were not consistent by any means, but I think that kind of draws that journey to a close, for the most part. I know there's one more episode left of this, but the previous ones that have all been out to this point, I think that 6 years is kind of long enough to drag this out. And I don't mean that in a derogatory term, because I've had fun with it.
Yeah.
But I think that it's time to move on officially and not muddy the waters with it. Just not to make an episode with it, to just put it on hiatus again. Or,
right.
I think that we've with your plan that you helped put together,
for the 30th.
Yeah, for the 30th, and to officially end the podcast. I think that it's given it strong legs to move out on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a blast. I mean, even on those early morning records, even on some of the news episodes and everything else, it's just been a great, great time. And if we hadn't, you know, gotten together and did this and did TFG1, the network wouldn't even be here, and you might have been doing something else, I might have been doing something else, who knows. But, you know, ATTF was essentially the birth of everything the GCRN has become.
Which is kind of amazing to think of in itself.
Now, I don't remember if I ever asked you this, but why the hell did you call it All Things Transformers?
I had this, just like you, I have this thing for acronyms.
Yeah.
Whether they spell a word or not is a completely different story, but right. It all boils down to when I created my first Transformers site in 98.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Optimus Primal's Maximal Central.
Mm-hmm.
And Maximal Central at the time was like one of my key Transformers sites to go to. I loved that site. It's back when all the other ones were small as well. There wasn't really much of a forum base. There was an ICQ chat-based program thing that you could do. There was a lot of images, a lot of information. I liked the aesthetic of it. I liked the features. To the point, I duplicated it and called it Optimus Primal's Maximal Central when they died, when it all went away and they became the Frontier, which, again, was another name that I copied off of them. I had this infatuation with the designs and with the stuff, the names that the guy came up with, so I copied it at the time.
Right.
To which others would copy me eventually, but that's neither here nor there. They say flattery is imitation, so...
No, get it right. Imitation is the best form of flattery.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the phrase, so thankful you're here.
I know, right? What would you do without me?
Shoot myself. Wow.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, so I ended up doing that site, and then I changed it into Transformer Central, TF Central. And then eventually it changed into the very early stages of Predacon Empire, because let me get this over. The Transformer site was dog shit that I made.
You've improved since then,
though. Well, when I did Optimus Primal's Maximal Central, I actually abandoned that to create my Dragon Ball Z website.
Oh, Lord.
And I was hardcore into that. I knew everything about it. My site had more information, more pictures. Like, just, it was a hellacious project to undertake. And I built it on GeoCities. Just like I did the original app, Maximal Central. Where you have to physically drag stuff in a Java applet, which took forever on a 56K modem. So,
why am I flashing to William from Mallrats? You dumb bastard!
Yeah, that was dumb. But and then I eventually, like I said, I created Predacon Empire, and then I created like the Frontier, and then I created the Mega Drive Hub, and again, I kind of tried to all my sites kind of split off from each other. At some point, the Transformer one definitely created the Dragon Ball Z one, which split off from that and became, I created an emulation site from it, as well as something else. I can't remember at this current time. But and then I tried to reincorporate them all again later under another flag name, and then I kept creating new names and dumping all of these sub-sites into them, and then I kept renaming them, redesigning them, destroying them, rebuilding them. To the point I actually dropped a lot of them, and when I created Predacon Empire, I tried to rebuild the other ones, but the interest just wasn't there, and yeah. I got lazy with them, so they just faded away. With the intention I would eventually rebuild them all, just like I would Predacon Empire, but again, I'm too lazy. My hands are already full with doing Geekcast Radio full time. I don't have time to build my old sites back. Even though it wouldn't really be that hard if I re-uploaded the original sites. Because I still have all the original sites. I just don't have, like, the WordPress versions. I recreated Predacon Empire into WordPress to be a sub-site of Geekcast Radio, but it worked out while I was doing it. When we switched hosts again, I never rebuilt it.
Right.
The domain subdomain's still there, and I don't have anything on it though. But All Things Transformers, it's kind of been one of those staples that's split into other things, just like Predacon Empire did back in the day. And the All Things Transformers, to get back to your original question, was because I wanted to talk about All Things Transformers without trying to steal the name of Transformers Week in Review.
Right.
Which is where I got Movie Week in Review. I liked Wire, so it was kind of cool. but yeah, ATTF, that was how it was born, and I took the that Spark image. There was an old website called Cafe Spark.
Oh yeah.
You remember that?
Oh yeah.
I stole that Spark.
And that Spark has evolved over the years.
it's become the Beast Machines Megatron Spark, but the original Spark, it's been pretty consistent. That actually that was a part of a lot of the site stuff that I built for a while, and then I actually stole the Spark Chamber from Beast Machines, which became tangibly in the All Things Transformers art.
Ah, interesting.
So, yeah, there's hidden history between All Things Transformers and Predacon Empire that, since it spawned out of that originally anyway, and then your TFG1 podcast, which spawned out of Predacon Empire as well.
Yep, originally, yeah.
Originally.
Yeah.
It just seems like so far ago.
Yeah. And as the rest, as they say, the rest is history. So coming up is episode 50. It'll be out in December at some point. And that'll be kind of be the finale. What I'm thinking is either me, you, and Michael Wilson, or me, you, Michael Wilson, and Kevin Optimus Solo, we can all three or all four get together and just talk about our love for Transformers. Because we've already gone over the history of the show here, so any other final words before I close it out?
I think, just for the sake of it, we may cover a little bit of news just to be kind of old school with it, but not in the dumb way. I think it will be, it's not going to be spoilery crap, it's not going to be rumory crap, it's going to be actual legitimate cool stuff that's coming out, or that
it's
is
out. It's not going to be location scouts.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, kind of fun news articles, and then, you know, maybe, you know, an actual, like you said, kind of discussion on Transformers as a whole, and what it means to us, so.
Yep. So, closing out the show, you're going to hear several outtakes that have happened over the years. So I guess till all are one, and we will catch you in episode 50. If you would like to send voicemails or emails with MP3 files to the show to have played in episode 50, send them to feedback@geekcastradio.com or call 502-526-5821. The deadline for this is December 5th, 2014. So till all are one, we will catch you in episode 50, folks. Any closing thoughts, Megatron?
Ah, negative. I come in peace.
You're about to leave in pieces.
No need for violence, Rhinox. I merely wish to talk.
Go ahead. It's a free planet. I'm busy.
Stubborn maximal fool! He'll soon regret this impertinence.
My pants are full!